get fired up. When Ruthie and I lived in Texas, we were given tickets to go watch the Aggies of Texas A&M play football against Kansas. And I got to tell you, that was one of those experiences that you just can't forget. What's that?
Giggle.
Yeah, giggle, yeah. That's right. You got it, Larry. And you know, we walked into the stadium not sure what to expect. And when we got in there, we saw this corps of cadets marching in. And then there were these guys all dressed up in white shirts and white pants. They were what they called the yell leaders. Can we move to that slide? There you go. I mean, the guys yell, and they don't use megaphones. They yell, and you can hear them, all right? And they get the whole crowd fired up and yelling. And when there's a touchdown, everybody puts their arms around each other's shoulders, and they start swaying, and the whole stadium's moving. I mean, they're getting fired up. They're getting fired up. Typically, getting fired up is getting all excited like we did at the A&M game for a football team. And we do whatever we have to do to get fired up. But in worship, it's not about us getting fired up. It's about the Holy Spirit of God firing us up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
As you know, I love Pentecost. I love the balloons that are here. They remind us of those tongues of fire on that day of Pentecost. Pentecost is one of those three great holidays of the church: Christmas, when Jesus was born; Easter, when Jesus was risen from the grave and had exerted his power over sin and death; and then Pentecost, when the Spirit came down on Jesus' followers. Now, you heard me say last week that this is the one holiday that belongs solely to the church. Hallmark has not gotten word of it yet, right? Now, and here's the thing. Somebody last week, and I don't remember who it was, somebody came up to me after the service, and by the way, I don't want to know who it was, although I just found out. Somebody came up to me after the service and said, "I'll send Hallmark an email so that, you know, they can have Pentecost cards." I said, no, please don't do that. No, we don't want Hallmark to be able to do that. Hallmark's okay. I mean, they have good cards. If there's anybody here who works for Hallmark, my apologies. Pentecost is a day for celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. We see the birthday of the church in the book of Acts. It's a day for a party. We have been given the Holy Spirit to empower us as followers of Jesus Christ, to help us to tell his story and our story with boldness and with power. This is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And this morning, I invite you to listen. Listen beyond the ongoing noises in your life. Listen beyond the voices that generate those lists for you to do things after this service. Listen to and for the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. I invite you to listen to the words describing that first Pentecost. I asked Gilbert if he would read those for us this morning.
The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were during in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound and the multitude came together, and they were all bewildered, because each one was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and astonished, saying, not all these were speaking Galileans? And now, is it now we hear each of us his own language? Acte chapitre 2, verset 8. Et comment les attendons-nous dans notre propre langue, à chacun dans notre langue maternelle? Ibyakozwe n'intumwa gice cya kabiri murongo wa munani. Bishoboka bite ko buri wese muri twe yumva bavuga ururimi rwacu kavukire?
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are all filled with new wine. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the way that your spirit came with power on Pentecost. And Lord, help us not to be people who stand in the way of your spirit. To that end, open our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, I pray that my words would be your words, and that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear afresh, and that we wouldn't only hear, but we'd seek to be obedient to you. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. They were waiting in Jerusalem. After Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension into heaven, Jesus had the disciples wait. And he said this to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice something about this passage. There's something to be received and something to be done. When the Holy Spirit came, they would receive power. That word power in Greek is dunamis. It's the word from which we get our word dynamite. And I got to tell you, as a young guy growing up, and I heard that the Spirit was dynamite, and I was like, cool, you can blow things up. But it's not about blowing things up. It's about having power to build disciples, to build the church, to build the kingdom of God. And then the task was to be witnesses. The root word for witness, martyres in the Greek, the word from which we get our word for martyr. A martyr is one who bears witness of what they've seen and they heard. They needed the power as Jesus' followers to be witnesses of what they saw, heard, experienced, and knew to be true. The power to die, if necessary, for the sake of Jesus. They needed that power. Now, waiting's got to be one of the hardest things to do. The followers of Jesus waited in Jerusalem. They gathered together in the upper room and they waited. They prayed. And they waited. What did they do? They waited, yeah. I can imagine it was a time of expectancy, a time of excitement, and a time of bewilderment and uncertainty. I mean, we all know what it's like to wait, right? We wait for grades. We wait for test results. We wait for news about a loved one, news about a baby being born. You've heard the words in your home, I bet, Just wait till your father gets home. Just wait. Mom's going to hear about this. Right? We've all heard those words, and maybe we've said them. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in security lines at Logan Airport. I don't like to wait in checkout lines at Market Basket. I don't like to wait in traffic. I don't like to wait. I don't really know anybody who does. However, in the scriptures, it is not uncommon for people to wait for God. Sometimes, somehow, that waiting prepares the people who wait. You see, waiting opens our hearts and our minds to reflect on God's faithfulness in the past. Waiting causes us to trust in Jesus in ways that we've never had to trust before. And waiting causes us to search the scriptures, to ask questions. To ask questions of ourselves, of others, and of God. The followers of Jesus waited. They would receive power from the Holy Spirit, and they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and beyond. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who ignites and empowers ordinary followers of Jesus to become witnesses of our extraordinary God. And that's what was happening as they waited. And then they received the Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place. And the Spirit of God came audibly and visibly. It was the Ruach, as I said with the children of God. Say that word with me. Ruach.
Ruach.
You feel that breath coming out? The breath of God came in a violent wind in that room. And God was breathing new life into his people. Anybody here ever take CPR? It's sort of like CPR of spiritual proportions here. Breathing that life into the people of God. At the same time, there were tongues, like tongues of fire that came, and they didn't just touch people, they rested intentionally on these people. Fire represents the purifying power of God. And each person was purified for a purpose, purified to be a witness. And if that wasn't enough, they began to speak in other tongues, just like Gilbert did as he was reading the passage for us this morning. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in this room and all of us starting to speak another language? Inconceivable? It's what happened that day. It wasn't a plan devised by any human being. God touched their lives. They were acted upon by God. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus led them to that room. And when he did, everything changed. You see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit who brings the power of change in our lives. It's the Spirit who is able to open our eyes. It's the Spirit who can soften our hearts. It's the Spirit who can challenge our thoughts. It is the Spirit who changes our perspective. It's the Spirit who is able to bring comfort to our souls. The Spirit is able to disrupt our lives in the ways they need to be disrupted. And the Spirit empowers us to bear witness to God's gift of grace and forgiveness, which is only found in and through Jesus Christ. How is the Spirit of God at work in your life? How is the Spirit of God at work in our lives together? You see, the Holy Spirit ignites and empowers ordinary followers of Jesus Christ to become witnesses of our extraordinary God And so they experienced God's power. They experienced Pentecost. And they responded in different ways. Now, it just so happened that on that day, when the Spirit arrived, that there was an international gathering in Jerusalem. People were there from the countries we know today as Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Greece, and Italy. They were all there. Coincidence? Yeah, no. The sovereign hand of God was at work. It was a communications coup that no marketing department could ever put together. People heard the gospel in their own languages. The people who heard were amazed. They were excited. They were bewildered. The critics and the cynics said, yeah, they've had a little bit too much to drink. They're drunk. Well, if they're drunk, something miraculous happened because 3,000 people's lives were saved that day. In the midst of all this, what we can see that Jesus changed everything. Peter, the always questioning, misunderstanding fisherman who denied Jesus just a few weeks earlier, the one who had the habit of opening mouth, inserting foot at just the right time or the wrong time, however you want to look at it, he explained to the crowd what happened. In short, he said, the others are not drunk. The words of the prophets have come true. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. The Holy Spirit was at work in a powerful way. Peter needed to have the Spirit to bear witness. The Spirit transformed Peter, and the Spirit is able to transform each and every one of us, even today. I can remember clearly the first time that I was ever aware of the Holy Spirit's power in my life. It was on a Thursday evening in June in 1973. I was sitting in a living room with about 70 high school students and college students. And as I was sitting there, I kind of watched as everything happened. We sang, somebody taught about something. I, for the life of me, have no idea what was being taught that night. And then we went into a time of prayer. And I heard all these other students praying. And I was sitting there saying, Lord, and I didn't say this out loud, Lord, I don't know what this is, but whatever it is, I want it. Come into my life, please. Now, what really caught me was about 5 or 10 seconds later, a girl who was a year ahead of me in high school and sitting on the far side of the room prayed audibly, Lord, I don't know what's happening in John's life, but I really think he needs you. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. I sensed what I now know was God's Spirit in a way that I have never experienced it before. My life, my heart, and my soul began to be transformed. And that transformation continues to this day. The change that comes in our lives is by the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work through us in the person of Jesus Christ. Back in 1973, I began to experience what it meant to live life with Jesus Christ as Lord. Think about that word, L-O-R-D. And if you think of it as an acronym, living obediently in relationship and devotion. I began to realize that living as a follower of Jesus Christ meant being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If he was truly Lord of my life, then I needed to live my life in response to him. It would affect my words, my actions, my choices, and my thoughts. It would impact my relationship with God and everyone who crossed my path. It was a relationship that called me to devotion, to loyalty, to dedication. It meant spending time in the scriptures and in prayer. And I began to realize that each day was one of living obediently in relationship and devotion. There are good times and bad times in the midst of that. And there still are, because it's a process of learning as we're being transformed by the Spirit of God day by day by day. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit who ignites and empowers people like us, ordinary followers of Jesus Christ, to become witnesses of our extraordinary God. Jesus' first followers went to Jerusalem and they waited in the upper room in obedience to the Lord. And God followed through on the promise. The Spirit came. In our fast-paced culture, in our present circumstances as individuals, in our circumstances as a church, maybe we need to wait on God and on God's timing. We need to wait on the power of God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit to do his transforming work in us and through us. It is God by the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts and our minds and our lives. It is God through the Holy Spirit who is at work in our families and through our friends and in the lives of our colleagues and our neighborhoods. It is God through his Holy Spirit who is at work in this congregation even now. And I think what we need to do is pray for God to pour out his Spirit afresh on us and fire us up for his glory. It's the Holy Spirit who ignites that fire, who empowers us from the inside out and transforms us as ordinary followers of Jesus Christ into witnesses of our extraordinary God. May that be true for us. Amen.